Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Treasure Island Sports Book, it's In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I want to thank you very much for making my day in the sun so memorable.
Well, I'm going to have to kick you, you know what, today.
We're heading inside the tent with an injury update from the Las Vegas Raiders.
You know what time it is when you hear that intro. It's time to go out to the guest line and talk to our good friend and good friends, Dr. Robert Odell from the Neuropathy and Pain Center here in Las Vegas, and his colleague, Dr. Shaw, who is also joining us. And first of all, thank you guys for spending some time with us in the huddle. How are you guys doing?
Great, and thank you for the opportunity again.
You got it. Well, we're in week four, Dr. Shaw, and I wanted to start with you. You know what football is all about, having played the sport at a high level. Where are players right now physically? I know, you know, catastrophic injuries aside, or what you saw on the injury report this week, but in a general sense, where are players physically right now?
Well, cautiously optimistic, I think, at this point. I mean, definitely some bumps and bruises, but luckily at that level, everyone has trainers and orthopedic surgeons looking after them constantly, looking for first signs of injury. And the quicker you can respond to the injury, the better off it is for the player and ultimately the team. But barring any severe injuries, guys are probably hurting. They're probably spending a great deal of time in the ice baths and cryo chambers.
You know, Dr. Odell, I asked Derek Carr this question about a week ago or so, and he had hurt his ankle, sprained it pretty good against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. And He didn't miss one snap of practice. He played the following week against the Miami Dolphins. It was no question in his mind that he was going to play. And this is what he told me. He's like, it's a mindset. He goes, and it goes all the way back to, he goes, when you get hurt, the first thing your coach is going to ask you is, are you going to be able to play the next game? And at that moment, your answer is generally going to dictate how that turns out. So in his mind, what Derek Carr said was absolutely, and he said it affirmatively, he said it with conviction and confidence. And what he said is because that sets the path forward to playing. Whereas guys sometimes say, well, I don't know, I'll give it a shot, I don't know. You've already lost the game when you set yourself mentally in that realm right there. Is there something to be said about mind over matter and just dictating and determining a path forward by how you set your mind initially?
Yes. The only problem would arise if you actually have a serious structural problem.
Right.
You can't. It reminds me of that young dead gymnast who, we knew she had a serious foot problems, and she just nailed it when she, I can't remember her name, the little girl many years ago, just unbelievable guts on that. And, you know, maybe they, I'm not sure what they do to mitigate the pain from, say, an ankle sprain. But see, a lot of people think an ankle sprain, that's nothing. Well, that's not true. There's tendons, ligaments, a lot of stuff there that could be injured. Just because you don't have a broken bone doesn't mean it's serious. But remember, the pain signal goes to the lateral part, the outside of the brain, where you know where it is. It's in the ankle. But the medial part of the brain, where the signal goes to the middle of the brain toward the center, that's your reaction to the pain. And the definition of pain includes your response to that pain. That's in the International Association for the Study of Pain's definition, is your reaction to that.
Well, what's interesting, too, is that in Derek's case, and he told me, he's like, look, you know, at some point in my life, I will give away some of my secrets, you know, as far as what I actually do. And he did say it's a 24-hour process, including when he's asleep, where he's dealing with, especially when there's a road to recovery like he was dealing with the ankle. But even on top of that, just to get himself right to play on Mondays physically, there's a 24-hour process that he adheres to, which starts immediately after he gets home from the, you know, the last game, if not sooner. So how important is that, developing a process in which you're doing everything proactively, everything that you can do in order to tap into all the various help that's out there in order to be good to go on a Sunday?
You know, I'll comment on it. I think there is something to be said about mind over matter. You know, everyone has a pain tolerance, and typically athletes that compete in the level that the Raiders are and other professional athletes, and I'll even say a lot of the MMA fighters, I think those guys need to be all need a checkup from the neck up, because they get injured severely. And, for example, I've had several of them come in with broken bones after a fight and look me right in the eye and say, yeah, but I'm good to go for next week, right? I mean, that's just the mentality of that caliber of athlete, and I think the Raiders are the same. I mean, you know, you're talking about 250-plus-pound men going at each other at 100 miles an hour and doing unbelievable damage to each other and getting up the next play and doing it all over again. You have to have a strong, sound mind to be able to overcome that.
But they have pads, don't they, Steve?
yeah.
Well,
kind of, sort of.
Yeah, and I think the pay part of it is I wouldn't call it a double-edged sword, but number one, the reason they want to get back out there as quickly as possible is because money is at stake. And in a team sport like football and baseball and basketball, there's always somebody right behind you that's trying to take your job. So
absolutely.
When guys are talking about, I need to be back out there on Sunday, it's not just to make the money, which obviously is a big part of it, but it's also to make sure they keep making the money, because there's somebody chopping at their heels at all times to take their job. And sometimes, you know, I've had coaches and managers tell me that they didn't know that, you know, their star pitcher or somebody, or star guard or linebacker was dealing with something, because they hit it, because they didn't want the coach to know or the manager to know, because they didn't want to risk getting taken out of the game or out of the lineup, because, for, you know, for those very reasons. So it is a little bit of a double-edged sword. It's a lot of money. But it also pushes people to do things that sometimes might not be the smartest thing to do. Like,
it is a team sport, and I think that's where the trainers come in. I think they're very, very well educated and experienced on recognizing the injuries and the profoundness of the injury. And you know, if a player like we were talking about earlier may have his own personal mentality that he wants to get in there and compete, but if the trainer recognizes that it's a detriment to not only himself but potentially the team, then it's probably best to sit a week out. You know, being a former player, I certainly didn't want to be told that I couldn't play, but if it meant helping the team, then sometimes you just got to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And we're talking to Dr. Odell and Dr. Shaw from the Neuropathy and Pain Center here in Las Vegas. We talk about this all the time. They deal in pain, and they deal in helping people get over pain. And here's the thing. You know, I know when we get older, pain is often a part of aging, but it doesn't have to be something that you just deal with. There is help out there, and that's what Dr. Odell and Dr. Shaw provide. You can give them a call at 702-25. Yes, go ahead.
Vinny, I taped four commercials, Channel 3 yesterday. We call it Wellness Wednesday. We're on it, I think, 20 minutes to 4 every Wednesday, and the whole series was on how to avoid surgery. There are other things you can do. You don't have to have surgery. And, I'm a been an anesthesiologist for years, and I, you know, been in surgery for my whole professional career, but I think people might like to watch that because we have some pretty good tips.
Awesome. And what channel is that on, and what time does it come on?
Channel 3, Wednesday, about 20 minutes to 4, I think.
Okay. Well, you heard the
Wellness Wednesday.
There you go. And like he said, That's not always the solution. Is surgery, and that's why Dr. Odell and the Neuropathy and Pain Center here in Las Vegas is so useful, because they could put you on a path that averts having to do all that. So give them a call at 702-257-7246. Dr. Shaw, I don't remember if we talked about this the last time you were on, but Dak Prescott continues to be a marvel right now, in spite of coming back from a catastrophic injury that he suffered last year. I don't even know if it was within the calendar year. I think it might have actually been, you know, less than a year that injury occurred. But as you watch him play, Dak Prescott from the Dallas Cowboys, how proud maybe are you of the industry that you work in that can give a player like that another chance in spite of what looked to be something that could have been career ending?
Yeah, I think we did talk about it, and I think I mentioned that if that injury had happened somewhere in the early 80s, that we'd be having a different conversation. But, you know, I'm very proud to be part of a new generation of medicine that offers new techniques from prolotherapy to stem cell that are giving these athletes a chance to recover in a shorter amount of time and still be competitive in that short amount of time frame.
And I was at a Regen Medicine conference in Utah. That'd be the subject of another whole interview sometime when we, you know, maybe not during the season. It's just amazing some of the things that I want to be changing in my practice that we've always done that, you know, we could do a lot better.
Well, just like sports and just like a team, you're always trying to stay ahead of the curve, and you're always trying to improve. And, you know, if you stand pat, you're going to get passed up at some point. And it doesn't sound like Dr. Odell or Dr. Shaw is ready to get passed up at any point soon. And along those lines, Dr. Odell, you know, how much do you feel like people are a little bit more open to these newer ideas, or is it still a process trying to get people to kind of overcome whatever skepticism, fear, or the unknown about some of the newer things that you guys are doing?
A lot of the people at the conference deal in cash. I have a hard time asking people for cash because the insurance companies have ruined healthcare in this country, and that's, again, another topic. A friend of mine wrote a really good book on that. If any of your listeners are interested in getting it, it's called Rigged, How Healthcare Has Been Destroyed by the Insurance Companies. The politicians have helped. I'd be happy to send them a copy. But because people don't want to pay. These people up in Utah all get cash. They spend time with the patient. And they're doing prolotherapy, platelet-rich plasma, stem cells, etc. And a lot of the people, of course, are elite athletes. Dr. Mendelbaum was there. He took care of Reagan. And he, maybe you've heard of him from UCLA, gave a really inspiring lecture, the first lecture of the meeting. And you know, it does involve a new mindset. Having said that, hopefully in 5 or 10 years, we will have prolotherapy and platelet-rich plasma therapy as paid for by the insurance companies. Because a lot of times my patients say, "Oh, I can't do it unless the insurance pays for it," which I think is sad, but it's just the realities of the system we have.
Yeah.
So it's a huge question. By the way, I did want to tell you that one of the Dodger pitchers from the 80s is my patient now.
Oh, are you allowed to disclose his name? Or
he was a righty.
A righty,
Mike Anderson.
Oh, okay, awesome. All right. Well, I'm sure he's pretty excited and pumped up about what's going on with the Dodgers right now. They are in the middle of a tremendous pennant race with the San Francisco Giants. So, but it looks like it's headed to a one-game playoff for the Dodgers. But that is a topic for a different day. Dr. Odell and Dr. Shaw, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game on Monday night, the Raiders against the Los Angeles Chargers, and we'll circle back to you next week.
Go Raiders!
Go Raiders!
There you go. That's Dr. Robert Odell and Dr. Shaw from the Neuropathy and Pain Center here in Las Vegas. Again, give them a call. They've got plenty of help to provide. And like Dr. Odell said, you know, if you're afraid of going under the knife, or if you think it's going to be hugely expensive to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with, they can create a path that bypasses all that nonsense. Just give them a call, 702-257-7246. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We're here at the Treasure Island Golden Circle Sportsbook for another hour or so. So come on by and say hi at the Treasure Island Golden Circle Sports Book and Grill.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor.
They do a great job covering people. They have multiple coverages, a great disguise package. They have a very good coverage plan every week, and they have a good rush. You know, when you don't have very long to throw it and you have multiple people in coverage, it's hard to throw the ball. They had Aaron Donald, 97, with the Rams, Floyd. Here they've got a guy named Bosa who's red hot. And they've got some good rushers up front. They have a really good coverage program there. They can roll weak, roll strong. They can play man-to-man when you don't know it's man-to-man. It's a good, effective defensive scheme. It'll be tough for us, just as it has been for everybody else I've seen against them. It comes from Vic Fangio. You know, he comes from a great mentor. And, you know, we're going to see basis of this scheme, parts of this scheme, against Chicago. And when we see Denver, and certainly Coach Staley's done a great job putting his spin on things.
Make no mistake, the Chargers have the Raiders' attention, and rightfully so. You know, you think about the Chargers for so long, you think about loosey-goosey, kind of slipping up, kind of, you know, they're just, there's always kind of something about them that you wondered, you know, are they being coached well? They're always prone to, like, dumb mistakes and just not, you know, completely tight in a lot of different areas. Well, I can assure you that Brandon Staley has changed all that, flat out. He's changed all that. Don't expect the Chargers to be slipping up, making dumb mistakes, shooting themselves in the foot like they have in the past. They're too well coached. I know it's just a short time into Brandon Staley's tenure, but you can tell when a team is well coached. You can tell when it's a tight ship. The Chargers for years, have been a little too loosey-goosey in that regard, and it's cost them big time. And I don't think that that's going to be the case with this coached team for much longer. And plus, you have a great quarterback in Justin Herbert. So there's no doubt that they've got the Raiders' attention. And I think one thing that does work well, as John Gruden was just mentioning, is that this defense is going to be very similar to what they see next week against the Chicago Bears. It's going to be very similar to what they see a week later in Denver against the Broncos, because it all comes from Vic Fangio, the head coach of the Denver Broncos. This is his system. Now, Brandon Staley is putting, like John Gruden said, his spin on things, but it kind of comes from the same basis, the same foundation. And again, don't expect this Chargers team, this version of the Chargers team, to be doing things that, you know, everyone's going to make mistakes. I'm not saying that. But in terms of just not being able to manage the clock, being a little bit too loose in certain areas, not being tight, not being connected, all of those things that winning teams need to do, and the bad teams or teams that always fall short fail to do, that's not going to be the case with these Chargers. So get that out of your mind if you're Raider Nation expecting the same old from the Chargers. It's not going to happen. The Raiders got to go to Los Angeles and win this game on merit, and I believe they can and will, but it's not going to be any kind of, I don't care how many Raider fans are at the stadium, it's not going to be an easy win for the Raiders whatsoever. This is going to be a tough football game. By the way, just want to let you guys know that Demon Rum now is able to be shipped directly to you. Just go to drinkdemonrum.com. The more you buy, the better the deal. And now, for being a fan, you can get 10% off your total order. Enter DemonVinny10 in the coupon code. That's DemonVinny10 at drinkdemonrum.com on your next order of Demon Rum. Take my word for it. Go get yourself some Demon Rum. It's really good. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Bernard is on the line. How you doing, Bernard?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing really good, thank you.
Hey, just want to, I think this got a potential to be a shootout, because both of these offenses are really good. I think with the Raiders' improvement on third down is going to be the key. I used to dread third downs, probably like everybody else, but now I really look forward to them, on third down, even though they had a couple miscues last week. But those are fixable when the quarterback is kind of scrambling around. Guys just got to you know, stay in their lane, I think they'd be okay. And one more thing, man. Yesterday, Bill Plaskey said, no doubt the Chargers are a much better team. But I know you didn't get a chance to elaborate on that too much. I just kind of wonder why he feels that way, because I don't see it that way at all. I think the Raiders are, these teams are pretty well matched up in terms of talent level.
Yeah, and, I can.
You say you think they're going to win. Why do you think that? What's one thing you think gives the Raiders the edge?
Well, their defense. They're just playing better defense. And you're right about them getting teams off the field on third downs. They're sixth best in the NFL right now, the Raiders are, in that category. And they were third worst in the NFL last year. So I'm no mathematician, but if you do the math, that's pretty darn good compared to where they were last year. Now, the problem against the Miami Dolphins was they were so good on stopping them on third down. It led to some fourth downs, and for whatever reason, they had trouble on the fourth downs. I think the the Dolphins were 4 of 7 on third downs, converting the third downs into fourth downs into first downs. We talked about that today with Gus Bradley. We talked about it with Denzel Perryman and Quentin Jefferson. And the problem, I mean, the thing was, it was more frustrating than anything because the Raiders had so many chances to get Jacoby Brissett to the ground and make those stops. They weren't able to tip your cap sometimes to the other guy, and Jacoby Brissett, in this case, made some nice plays on those fourth downs. So, but in the whole scheme of things, being able to be much better on third downs has really helped this defense. And I just think that the Raiders are a very well-rounded, very well-coached football team. I think there's talent. Anytime you can talk about when you crunch the numbers and look at the talent, I mentioned this yesterday, Carl Nassib, Yannick Ngakoue, and Max Crosby. Crosby and Yannick at defensive end, their starting defensive ends, are ranked in the top 10, both in the top 10 at their position group. I think Max is number 2, Yannick is number 9. Right behind is Carl Nassib at number 12. There's no team in the NFL that even comes close to having three players ranked that high at the same exact position. Two starters and one very key reserve. But then you go back in the secondary, and all of a sudden you're talking about Casey Hayward, I think, is the second-ranked cornerback by PFF. Nate Hobbs, the young rookie, is the eighth-ranked cornerback by Pro Football Focus. And Trayvon Mullen, the starting cornerback opposite Casey Hayward, is ranked a more than respectable 21st. There's no team that has two cornerbacks in the top 21, let alone three, and there's certainly not two defenses that have two cornerbacks in the top 10. That's pretty darn good, and you haven't been able to talk about the Raiders defense in those terms in a long time. I'll also say this. Let's go to safety. Jonathan Abram is the 40th ranked safety in the NFL. You're like, Vinny, that's not that good. Well, in the whole scheme of things, consider where he's coming from. Last year, Jonathan Abram was ranked either the last or second worst safety in the NFL. So that's remarkable improvement going from a guy that was ranked in the 100s to the 40s. He's playing good, solid football. And where he is, given where he came from last year, the Raiders will take that any day of the week. And the arrow is still pointing up. I expect Jonathan Abram to get better as the year goes on. And you want to talk about Trayvon Morig, the rookie safety from TCU? He's right around 50th, I think, in terms of safeties. However, he's also coming off his highest graded game of the season. His defensive ranking on Sunday against the Dolphins by PFF, I think, was 75.9, which, if that number held up through the course of the season, that would rank him in the top 10 among safeties in the NFL. Is it going to hold up? Is he going to put up 75s the rest of the year? I don't know. But he certainly is coming off one of his better games, and it's helped push him where he is right now. And if he continues this play, it's only going to get better. So now all of a sudden you're talking about a starting safety and cornerback crew, because typically you're going to be playing with three cornerbacks and two safeties. So Casey Hayward, Nate Hobbs, Trayvon Mullen, Trayvon Morrig, and Jonathan Abram. Those are five starters that are playing very respectable football. In terms of the cornerbacks, really good football. In terms of two of those cornerbacks, excellent football. Then you go to a defensive line and you have three players that are playing great football and two that are playing exceptionally well in Max Crosby and Unique Ngakoue. So, you know, when you talk about that, that's, I mean, I'm not going to call these guys superstars, but they're measured against their peers in the NFL. The Raiders have a whole bunch of good defensive players right now that are making plays and making a difference. And we haven't even got into, you know, the solid play from Quentin Jefferson, the solid play from Solomon Thomas, the solid play from Jonathan Hankins, the very beyond solid play from Denzel Perryman and K.J. Wright and Corey Littleton, who's quietly bounced back and played really well this year so far for the Raiders. He's looking more and more like the linebacker that I remember covering in Los Angeles. So when you put it all together and you start talking about guys that are being graded out in a respectable manner compared to, frankly, just throwing this out there, the embarrassing way that players were graded last year, like it was, I'd look at the PFF grades each week and go, wow, I mean, this is just beyond absurd. It was that bad. The only two players that were really, you know, measuring up was Clee Farrell before he got hurt and before he went down with COVID, and Nick Kwiatkowski, who was grading out reasonably well at linebacker. But other than that, everybody was on. You had to go to page two, pretty much, of the Pro Football positional rankings to get to all the other guys. That's why they gave up 30 points a game last year. Remember all year we talked about, or all offseason we talked about, look, the Raiders' defense doesn't need to be the 1985 Chicago Bears. It would be great if they were, if you're a Raider fan, but that's probably unrealistic, and they don't really need to be, given how good their offense is. They just need to be respectable. Well, they're ranked 15th in the NFL in points given up. They were 30th last year. So there's a huge improvement there, and I think that defense, Bernard, coupled with what they're doing on offense, I think that puts them on a path to a victory in Los Angeles. But by no means is this going to be an easy win, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Raiders lost, too, just throwing that out there. It's going to be great for the Raiders that it's going to be a Raider-centric crowd. I think it's going to be way more than 50%. I think it's going to be in the 70s and maybe even above. We'll see. That's what the players are hoping for. That's what the players are expecting. So the challenge is on Raider Nation to prove it in L.A. by showing up and being a factor. I expect that to be the case. But, the way the Chargers quarterback is playing, as good as I think that this team, the Chargers, are being coached, I think with a quarterback that good, as difficult as Raider Nation is going to make it for him in his own stadium, he's just too good to – it's not going to disrupt them that much, you know. So the Raiders can't count on that, can't count on their crowd, which is it's going to make it a home game for the Raiders without question. Rattling Justin Herbert or knocking him off significantly. He's played in huge games at Oregon. He's played at the Rose Bowl. He went to Kansas City last week in one of the loudest venues in the world, certainly in the NFL, and beat Patrick Mahomes. He had a good game last week against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes on the road. I needed to see that. I mean, I'm a Justin Herbert guy. Watched Pac-12 football all the time. Saw him at the Senior Bowl and was blown away in Mobile, Alabama. But I needed to see it. Can he do it on the road now? Is he going to be able to duplicate what he did last year with fans in the stands and fans trying to make life difficult? Well, he passed that test in Kansas City. And so if I'm a Raider fan, I'm not counting on the fans making that big of a difference to him. He's just too smart and too good. Having said that, when I look at the Raiders' defense, and especially what they've been able to do up front, not just two great pass rushers, but a guy in Carl Nassib who's been playing tremendous football, and what they've been doing up front, It's just I have a hard time believing the Raiders aren't going to be able to get after Justin Herbert just enough. And if you want to talk about making life difficult for the quarterback, forget the crowd. I mean, they'll play their role. But I think that front four, if they have a hot night, and I expect the crowd to help them in a lot of ways, you know, pushing them and whatnot. If they have a hot night on Monday night and are able to get after Justin Herbert, then you're talking about, you know, the possibility of creating some turnovers, definitely the possibility of getting the Chargers offense off the field, and giving the ball back to Derek Carr. I do expect the Raider home field advantage to help the Raiders offense. They're not going to have to operate against a crazy crowd in Los Angeles, so they're going to get some help in that regard. They'll be able to communicate much easier, much better, much more efficiently because of that. And I just think that when you look at this Raiders offense, they've got too many weapons. Derek Carr has too many cards to play offensively. It's going to be difficult for whatever team they play to match up to the skill levels, the weapons that the Raiders have. If you look at what's gone on with the Raiders this year in terms of what's slowed them down, it's self-inflicted. You don't want to see that. The good news for the Raiders is they've been able to overcome it because they're that good offensively, and they truly are. But I did a story today on some of their red zone issues. You can't have the kind of penalties that they've had, the turnovers that they have had, both of which were self-inflicted. Remember the goal line interception that Derek Carr threw in overtime, the offsides penalty or the illegal procedure penalty on Alex Leatherwood, the rookie right tackle, at the goal line, pushing back 5 yards. They had to throw it from that point. It bounces off Willie Snead's hands into the hands of a Ravens cornerback. That's those. You can't have that. You can't have a play like the pick six against the Dolphins last week. They weren't in the red zone technically, but they kind of were. They were at the 21-yard line. Remember, they were driving on that drive. They were moving the ball easily against the Dolphins on that drive. They get to the 21-yard line, and Foster Moreau and Derek Carr aren't on the same page. It leads to an interception, a pick six. All of a sudden, the Raiders are down 7-0. You can't have your center snap the ball over the quarterback's head. No, by the way, not only did that happen, but on that same play, Derek Carr is trying to make something happen to mitigate the loss and trying to, you know, at least get it to a push where it's just start it back up, 2nd and 10 at wherever they were. I think it was the 40-yard line. But instead, trying to make something happen in order to mitigate things, he gets called for grounding the ball. You know, so now you lose a down, and in total, the Raiders lose 18 yards on the play. They're already back. They're way back to their own 42-yard line. You can't have that. But the point is, it's been self-inflicted. If the Raiders can clean that up, they're going to be a handful for opposing defenses to defend. And they already are. But they can be an extremely big handful if they can get things squared away and get things a little bit tighter and a little bit more efficient. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We are live for another half hour or so here at the Treasure Island Casino at the Golden Circle Sportsbook. Come on by. Enjoy some sports. Enjoy some drinks. Enjoy some great food. See you here.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
It's hard to just unleash the rush on this guy because they allow him to scramble, and he will scramble, and he will hurt you bad. So if you don't protect the pocket, and you have a lot of coverage down the field against Williams and Keenan and all their weapons, this guy will put the ball down. It'll really hurt you bad running. We got hurt last week with some scramble plays, so we got to really be careful, with our rush. We got to do a great job containing him first, getting to him second, and getting him on the ground third, which is not easy to do. This is a big, strong, young, tough quarterback.
John Gruden sees it, and he sees it correctly, and that's exactly what Justin Herbert is. But what he's trying to say, what he was saying, is the Raiders need to be disciplined on their pass rush. What did John Gruden say? Contain first, take down second. So you're building a fence around this guy. You're building a fence, and then you're converging. But you can't lose sight of that fence, because that fence is going to do what a fence does. It corrals. If he's going to make plays in that fence area while you're pressuring him and converging on him and squeezing it, great. You tip your cap. If he's going to try to make plays in those kind of situations, you also don't rule out the possibility of a tip ball or an interception, something along those lines. But you keep him in the fence. You fence him in. You corral him. That's what John Gruden is talking about when it comes to surround him first, corral him first, and then push it. And, you know, that's easier said than done, because they're – I'm telling you right now, what does Max Crosby, Carl Nassib, and Yannick Ngakoue want to do? They want to smash that dude into the ground. They want to get a sack. They want to create havoc. And it's hard in your head. It's hard in your head to you know, alter that, because that's your first goal, is to get to the quarterback. But you have to drive it home. You have to be disciplined. From the coaching standpoint, driving it home, to the players being disciplined about it, keep him in the pocket. As good as he is in the pocket, he's even better on the run. Not only breaking off big runs, but also, you know, scrambling and then making a throw while on the run. So if he's going to beat you, make sure he beats you from the pocket. But you can't just give him a free and easy pocket easy either. You have to create havoc. You have to create pressure in a disciplined way that first and foremost builds a fence around him. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Jose is in L.A. How you doing, Jose?
Hey, what's going on, Vinny? Coming to you live from my UPS truck.
Oh, awesome, man. Where's my check?
Yeah. Hey, man. Hey, it's payday, so it's getting there. It's getting there.
All right, cool.
So my question is this. I mean, I feel like he's seen matchup really well, and I feel like this is going to be like a best barometer for the Raiders right now, because I feel like this is the best team that they're playing so far. And I really feel like this is Carr's chance to further establish himself as being the best quarterback in the league, because he's playing against this hot up-and-comer in
Justin Herbert.
And Justin Herbert. Thank you. I really like our chances, you know. I feel like this is going to be one of those games where, you know, iron sharpens iron kind of thing, you know, and it's going to be a good rematch. I'm already looking forward to that.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a really good point, Jose, and it just kind of dawned on me myself. You know, this is the second time that the Raiders are going to play on Monday night. They obviously started the season on Monday night. But it's a little bit different. It just shows you what a month can do, what 4 weeks can do. Because coming into that Monday night game, you know, the Raiders were a little bit of an open book. They were, you know, what do we really know about the Raiders? We kind of saw that there were some defensive improvements during training camp. But is it really? Is it going to happen on the field? So there were some unknown, not just from the world and the football world, but kind of from themselves as well. I know that I was getting answers like that, like, feel like it's moving in the right direction, but now got to prove it on the field. Well, in the past month, that's pretty much exactly what they've done, right? And now, even though they go into this game as underdogs by the people in the desert, I think there's a lot of people that have taken notice of the Raiders, and they've specifically taken notice of how good Derek Carr is playing. So this is a stage for him to reaffirm what he's already done and maybe elevate himself even higher in terms of what the perception is of him. So this is a great opportunity, just as Jose said astutely. Here he is playing Justin Herbert, the heir apparent to the next great quarterback mantle. Here he is playing in a huge divisional game against a, you know, bitter rival on the grandest stage of regular season football. Monday Night Football doesn't get any bigger than that. The whole world's watching. His peers are watching. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be watching to figure out, are the Raiders for real? Everyone else going to be saying the same thing. Hey, is Derek Carr going to be able to maintain this? Is this sustainable? So all of that is, it's a great opportunity for Derek Carr to say, yes, I this is sustainable. Yes, this is the level I am playing at, and we're not going to deviate from that. Yes, this team is for real. And so the great thing about it for Derek is it's not like he has to put this team on his shoulders. Yes, he has to play well. He may have to play exceptionally well, but he doesn't have to do it by himself. We just mentioned all the great young players that the Raiders have, or the impact players that the Raiders have on defense, the skill players that he has around him. He just needs to do his job at a very high level, but it's not like he has to overdo anything to compensate for something that's lacking. All the pieces are in place for the Raiders right now, including Derek Carr, and a great defense that's playing really well right now. I can't say great, but definitely good enough, and maybe headed towards a higher plateau. But this opportunity, this stage is there for Derek Carr to really affirm what we've seen of him over the first month of this NFL season. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. John is on the line. How you doing, John?
Have a good night, guys.
Hey, John, do we have you?
Oh, yes, I'm here. What's up?
Okay, good deal. Go for it, John.
Okay, so the name I would say is Silver and Sack.
Silver and Sack. All right. hey, it's got to start somewhere, and to me,
right?
It was a promising start. So I'm going to jot that one down, Silver and Sack. Not bad. Not bad at all. We'll see where it, if it holds up. But what are your thoughts on Monday night, John?
Thank you.
All right. I guess John doesn't have any thoughts on Monday night, but very creative nonetheless, coming in with the Silver and Sack. I like that. I mean, it fits. The Raiders are generating pressure on the quarterback. They are coming up with sacks. So Silver and Sack, I'll run it up the flagpole. We'll check with Raider Nation and everybody else to see if that's going to be a nickname that everybody is interested in. But, you know, getting back to what Jose said about this barometer game for the Raiders. I mean, first of all, there's first place at stake. We'll know if it's for all of first place because the Denver Broncos play on Sunday. They've got a 3-0 record as well. But we're not quite sure how legitimate the 3-0 record is. The Broncos, when you include the Jacksonville Jaguars loss last night to the Cincinnati Bengals, the Broncos have played three teams with a cumulative record of 0-10. So, hey, you got to win the game. You got to deal with whatever the schedule puts in front of you. And right now, the first 3 weeks of the season, the Denver Broncos have played bad football teams. Let's just be specific and honest about that. That changes on Sunday. Now, it is at home. They are playing at Mile High. But it's the Baltimore Ravens coming to town to play the Broncos. So we'll have a better idea of where the Broncos are and if things should work out fortuitously for the Raiders, then when they go to Los Angeles or take the field at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, if the Broncos lose on Sunday to the Baltimore Ravens, then the Raiders have a chance to do something that they probably haven't done in a long, long time. I'll have to check when the last time was that they had sole possession of first place in the AFC West, but it had to be 2016, right? I would think that it would be 2016 was the last time that happened, which seems like such a long time ago. But we'll see. In any case, the Baltimore Ravens can certainly help the Raiders' cause by beating the Denver Broncos on Sunday, which would allow the Raiders to go into Monday's game with a chance to take over first place in the AFC West. Whatever happens, we'll obviously have it all for you. On Tuesday, I will not be on the air on Monday. I will be in Los Angeles figuring out what the heck is going to happen on Monday night against the Chargers. It's the Raiders-Chargers. It's a classic AFC West matchup. It's finally two really good football teams. That hasn't happened in a long, long time where the Chargers and Raiders were good. It's Monday night football. There's not much more we can say about it. I'm kind of glad we're putting a bow tie on all the talk and getting ready to play some football on Monday night. Regardless of what happens, I'll be here on Tuesday to talk about it. And enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend. Be safe. Can't wait to revisit and circle back to you guys on Tuesday. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Friday. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.